Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 26th of November, and I'm recording at 10:33, and that's Greenwich Mean Time in London. Now, what's been the bigger story or stories of the day today? And I think I'll do a summary here on my three favorite stock markets here overall. First, starting with the Asia-Pacific region here, Japan, which has been a little quiet in terms of the Nikkei, barely changed down just a fraction in here. But what did take place today is that the second section index actually pushed to a new recovery high. Now, that had been lagging previously when the Nikkei and Topics got up to new recovery highs a few weeks ago. And I wondered if it might pull them back down. I also wondered if the election break would weigh on Japan. I think it might hold it in check for a while. But I think this is working out well, much in line with expectations here overall. Now, I'm assuming that Shinzo Abe gets reelected with a slightly smaller majority, but he may well have more power within the government. And I think they have done the sensible thing in pushing ahead with their QE. And it's not as if Japan, incidentally, owns a lot of money to the rest of the world, because they don't. It's really Japan's elderly that hold this debt for the most part. And I'm talking about all this Japanese government bond debt, of course. And I've seen a lot of people say, well, two things here in Japan. And one, of course, is this runaway debt, but again, they owe it to themselves. So I'm less worried about that than most other people. And the other comment that I hear is that Japan hasn't got enough people. Well, in any other era, that could easily be a serious problem overall. But Japan is one of the most automated countries in the world, and we're also living in an accelerated rate of technological innovation. If you want to see what Japanese company is benefiting enormously from that, of course, you can look at the Japanese technology sector, including FANUC, which Owen has commented on a number of occasions recently, and that's, well, it's in a very, very strong and continuing upward trend, as are most of the Japanese exporters. They're doing very well. But the point about population that I was going to make is that Japan is, again, not only is it so mechanized, it really can diversify. If it needs people, it can build factories in India or anywhere else around the Asia Pacific region, or in the United States for that matter, as they've often done. And people talk about the old Japanese farmers, and they're all pensioners. Well, frankly and brutally, the best thing that could happen for Japan's agricultural sector is for those people to retire or die off, and for all those small farms to be consolidated and mechanized. And I think that is exactly what's going to happen over the next 10 to 20 years or more. So I wouldn't worry too much about Japan here, and I think at long last they're taking sensible measures, and I want to be invested there, and I am, and will remain so. Next one is China. There's a lot about China that scares me. I won't go into all that again at this stage, but I'll just mention that, you know, China is well aware of its somewhat illustrious and somewhat tumultuous history. I guess you can say that about any country. But Japan used to rule the world 300 years ago, and I think they actually ruled it for about 300 years up until 200 years ago. And they think that's kind of their natural position and right. And in pursuing that, if they were all sitting around, if we were all in a meeting with Xi Jinping and saying, "Well, what could go wrong?" And I think he would be saying, "Well, the United States stands in his way." So, global tensions, that does concern me about China, but it's certainly not going to keep me out of that Chinese market. And JMC, that JP Morgan China Trust, is a good one. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions. Also, India. Well, I'm not going to talk about India anymore in here right now, but I think it's a must-hold hold position. And certainly, people are going on about Wall Street all the time. Well, it's outperforming Japan in U.S. dollars. That's not surprising. But it's not outperforming the China Shanghai Composite Index, which is up 21.4% this year in US dollar terms. And where's the India Sensex? 34.31%. And the CNX Nifty 50 index is even higher. And you've got good gains. Thailand 22.25%. Indonesia up over 20%. New Zealand coming on up 10.38%. So I like this Asia Pacific region and point made, I trust. Moving on. European markets, well, they're cheaper than many other. They're not cheaper than China. I mean, China is really incredibly attractively valued relative to these other stock markets, but European markets are certainly cheaper than the USA. It's all down to Mario Draghi, in my opinion. Without Mario Draghi, I think the euro would have fallen apart. I think that's still a risk, and it would probably be quite tumultuous. And I think that, as I've said in recent audios, that he won the big sort of gunfight here, metaphorically speaking, with Germany's economic leaders. And so we have Mario Draghi's QE, and he's going to go on doing that. And that's not bad for the stock market. So who benefits most from that, including a soft euro? Well, I would say the German autonomies will do best, or European autonomies generally. And it's not a new point. I've made it on a number of occasions. Today, Europe quietly mixed. Now, a lot of these markets are quietly mixed ahead of this OPEC meeting tomorrow, which will be certainly interesting. And Wall Street closed near the highs of the day. It was a little underwater for most of the day. Nothing big. Dow up only just under 13 points. The S&P a little firmer at up 0.28 of a percent. S&P's up to 2,072 and change, so it's just getting a little further above that big psychological 2,000 level that had held it in check for several months. And the NASDAQ composite here is has the better gain, up 2/3 of a percentage point. So tech-led stuff still outperforming, and that's a bullish sign here generally. Canada, 1/4 point lower. Mexico, 0.5% higher. Canada was 1/4 percentage point lower. And Brazil, 4/5 of a percentage point lower. Okay, what about these government bonds? Well, the U.S. 10-year, it's down again. Been down the last 3 days at least. And that 10-year yield is 2.245. So it's broken down out of that narrow trading range, as I also mentioned yesterday. And what do we make of that? And I'll tell you what I make of it here, since we can't have a two-way conversation. And I think that it suggests that the U.S. economy might not be quite so strong looking ahead as people actually think. We've just come off that 3.9% quarter, and they're expecting it to be a little weaker. Well, why? It could be the cold weather, and that's certainly nasty. And we know what it did at the beginning of the of this year, in the first quarter, when it was so freezing cold, and it actually was a negative quarter. Well, so that's a concern. I think you have problems that have gone on for a long time. You've got the very high taxes, corporate taxes, I should say, in the USA, which wants companies to move more of their activities offshore and to keep their cash offshore. That's not going to change with Obama, and we've got nearly 2 years to 2 years to go. And we got over 2 years to go, haven't we? Oh, a little bit. And we there are infrastructure problems in the USA, and Congress and the Obama administration, well, they seem it's a dysfunctional relationship, so they're not getting much done. So in terms of that top line governance from Congress and the White House, not so great. The USA is, and I should tell you where it is, that S&P is up 12%, just over 12% right now. And valuations are high among relative to global stock markets. They're not terrifyingly high, but they are high. But excuse me, so far Wall Street's been demonstrated its ability to pull back overextended stocks, and they then go into medium-term corrections of 2 or 3 months, and then start to pick up again. And that's a good, healthy sign overall. Certainly, the stock market's still in form, and I'm not worried about any big sell-off in here anytime soon. And last but not least, the oil price is really helping. It's helping global economies generally, predominantly oil exporters excepted. Now, just a quick look at currencies. The dollar index is down again today, so it continues to back away from that, those highs that were tested last week. Got up to that 88.3 level on the DXY, the dollar index. And that's where we almost certainly had intervention when we were last up there in 2008, 9, and 10. And here we are coming back down. Now, is that just a natural pause, having gone back to those highs, or did the Fed intervene again? My guess it's the former, but I don't know about that. But it gives a little bit more breathing space to U.S. exporters here generally. Not much going on though in the currencies. The euro is flat at 1.2506 against the dollar, and we have sterling virtually flat at 1.579. One, same for the Australian dollar here, barely changed. Now, crude oil. This is interesting. Weaker here again today, and right down on the lows. And the WTI U.S. price is at 73.47. That's down 72 cents. And the Brent is at 77.60, down 73 cents. And there's a lot of news coverage, which I find absolutely fascinating. But to try to sum up some of it, the meeting is tomorrow on U.S. Thanksgiving Day, the big OPEC meeting in Vienna. But they've all gathered there, well, a bigger crew. It's not just OPEC members this time, and the fear is palpable as OPEC members are joined in Vienna, unusually by officials from other oil exporting regions. And that gives you an idea of the concern about what's happened in prices. And then there's also a measure of false bravado, a sort of Alfred E. Newman, what me worry, type of attitude from some representatives, notably Russia, and which raises the question, if they're not worried, then what are they doing in Vienna, talking to the other oil producers, asking about who's going to cut production, while saying that they're not going to do it. So there's a tragic comic aspect to this frenzied gathering, and everyone's running around, as I said, calling for production cuts from anyone but themselves. The only representative in Vienna who could possibly be enjoying this spectacle, albeit in a kind of a sadomasochistic way, in my opinion, is Saudi Arabia's oil minister. I think it's pronounced, it was Ali Al Naimi, Naimi, my guess. What we can say about him and Saudi Arabia is at least they have enough cash and low-cost production so that they can survive oil prices near current levels longer than any other country that is heavily dependent on oil export revenue. However, to do so, in other words, if there are no cuts, production cuts tomorrow, and that would be a bit of a Pyrrhic victory here for the for the Saudis because none of them can afford this. Most of them need considerably higher oil production, and they'll be running down reserves. And therefore, this is largely a bluff, in my opinion, overall. So, what's going to happen? Well, a few days ago, most commentators on the subject seemed to be feeling that we would get some. Well, they were evenly divided about whether we would get cuts or no cuts in the oil production. But some of the news has become more negative since the Saudis have indicated that they're relatively relaxed about it and nobody else is volunteering to cut. I mean, my own guess is that we're unlikely to get anything other than small and temporary cuts, an attempt to jawbone the market higher. They wouldn't tell you that they were temporary cuts. But that's what they would almost certainly be. And then they would maybe throw out the line that, we can easily raise, we can easily reduce supply even more if this hasn't lifted the price. And they're trying to squeeze the shorts, and they may well do that fairly soon for a while. But, we're dealing with a dramatic change in history of oil prices and control over oil prices. And the losing side is OPEC, and the winning side is a global economy, oil producers accepted, as I mentioned earlier. So, interesting stuff. I look forward to seeing what happens to tomorrow. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.